Let us pray. Merciful Father, we thank you that our salvation and our reconciliation with you is not through ourselves. We thank you that is it in fact through Christ, through his work on the cross and the tomb. Lord, you know the trials we deal with on a daily basis, but you have promised us through this gift of faith that a day is coming where those trials will end and we will be with you forever. Lord, sustain us until that glorious day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you endure? Or maybe asking it a little bit differently, what do you do to cope or to get by, especially through the negative, difficult moments of life? Because every human being that walks this earth and breathes this air has to deal with some kind of consequence to this world being broken. I'd be willing to bet that everyone here in this room has something. Something they're wrestling with, some kind of trouble or problem. Maybe it's physical pain that nags you every single day when you get out of bed. Maybe it's persistent grief that you thought you were over by now. Maybe you have some kind of busted up relationship that just won't heal. Maybe it's some kind of mental or emotional torment. Or it could just be that you have a job on Monday morning waiting for you that you absolutely hate. And the grief of that and the stress of that is sitting on you this morning. So how do you cope? What do you do? What do you turn to that helps you endure through these hard moments? Now, I would enjoy getting to sit down with each one of you and hear your stories. It's one of my favorite things to do is sit down and hear people's stories. But we don't have enough time to go through one by one for you to answer that question. So I'm going to take the bait here, and I'm going to give you one of the things I do to endure, to cope, to get through. It'll be no mystery to my family. I exercise. I get on my raggedy old mountain bike, and I strap on that super dorky-looking helmet, and I just pedal. I just wander all over this North Texas area, and I enjoy that environment. I go as far as my old man legs will take me, and then I turn around and I head back home. And I'll say this, it's remarkable how much on those two wheels for those 90 minutes, how much it absolutely just melts away my stress, how it brightens my day like nothing else. My family will testify that I will get on that bike as this grumpy, old, angry, complaining, negative, no one wants to be around him guy. And then 90 minutes later when I get home, somehow I'm pleasant and I'm positive and they actually want to be around me. This picture was yesterday morning out east near Lake Levan. And this is what I call the bonus of the ride. When God gives me a sunrise like this, it gives me this bonus, something amazing to be in his creation and see. And that just adds to the peacefulness and the stress relief of that exercise time. And I thank God for this gift. I thank God every day that he uses this gift of exercise to help me cope and to get through the problems in my daily life. But then there are days that it rains. Then there are days where my raggedy old bike gets more raggedy and it doesn't work and it's broken. Or then there are days where my joints and my tendons hurt so bad that I can't get on that bike and ride. So what do I do in those days? How do I cope? Now I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God gives us all kinds of worldly things. I would imagine you're thinking of different things that God uses, earthly, worldly things that help you get through difficult moments in your life. But let's be real. These things are just things. A bike ride, as much as I enjoyed it, it's just a bike ride. It's nothing more. And unfortunately, I know a day is coming, fastly approaching, where my body won't allow me to do that anymore. I won't have that thing that I turn to that gives me this relief and this coping mechanism. So what then? How do you cope in your life? What helps you smile? What gives you peace and joy about tomorrow? Especially when you're in the middle of some miserable moments. Because life does that, doesn't it? Life has a way of putting us into these miserable moments where we're suffering in some kind of way. And all we want is for it to go away, and it won't go away. And then the devil and sin come in and they stick their dirty little finger into that moment and they make it worse and they start planting this despair and this doubt and this hopelessness. And those are the worst of days. But then we open our Bible. Then we open up our Bible in the worst of days and we read the very words that we heard this morning from the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. Oh, how incredibly sweet these words are on the ears of someone who is suffering, who is someone who is going through hardship. John was given this vision. God gave him this vision, and John wrote it down. And in it, he said that these people were gathered, more than he could number, clothed in white robes, from every nation, every tribe, every language. But they weren't just hanging out there. They were proclaiming. They were speaking a truth. They were crying out in unity together with one another. And they were saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Every nation on earth, millions upon millions of people in unity proclaiming the same thing. Harmony. That moment alone should stop us. Take any large group of people. What's the only common thread? Disagreement. Where y'all want to go to lunch? Disagreement, right? We have such a hard time coming together and proclaiming the same thing. Yet in this moment, millions are going to be proclaiming God as God Almighty and Christ as the Lamb. But this moment that John described is not necessarily where my heart centered. It's no small thing, right? Remarkable. But my heart traveled a little bit further down the text. It went to verses 16 and 17, and here's where I stopped. John wrote, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." That right there. That is what stops me in my tracks. If God is wiping away every tear, which also means tears come from pain, tears come from suffering. If God is wiping away every tear, then he's also wiping away the source of those tears. The pain, the suffering, the anguish, the misery, all the bad stuff in this life. God's taken it away. And don't hear this as some kind of like symbolic metaphor kind of thing, fanciful imagery where John just kind of making something up. No, this is real. Real. God has promised a real physical life where all that plagues us here is gone. And I was studying this text with a couple wonderful ladies earlier this week, and we were talking about, all right, well, who gets this? You talk about this reward, this life to come. The natural question is, okay, who gets this? The text says, those in the white robes. Okay, got it. So how do I get one of those white robes? How do you and I become part of that group that's rejoicing and proclaiming in that moment? Because you'd have to be fully crazy to not want the life that John described here. Someone send me that Amazon link. I'm gonna prime that white robe to my porch this evening. Doesn't work like that, does it? Those in the white robe are cleansed, made right, made pure through the blood of the Lamb. And let's get more specific. Through the blood of Christ, the blood he shed on the cross, the death he died pays for my salvation and yours. And salvation belongs to the Lord. The text tells us salvation belongs to the Lord. And more specifically, it belongs to Christ. He won that victory. Christ Jesus is the victor. And to the victor go the what? The spoils, right? The spoils of eternal life. To the victor go to the spoils of a life and existence that has no end to it, that also has no suffering in it. It's his. But he doesn't keep it, does he? Jesus doesn't secure that victory and then go, oh, you go get your own. This is mine. I earned this. No, Jesus gives it freely. Jesus says, believe in me as a Savior. Believe in me and the Savior, and you inherit this eternal life. That's it. Believe in Jesus as Savior. You have the promise that your eternal life is going to be glorious, completely absent of every bit of pain we know here. So how do we cope? How do we get through some of the most miserable moments of this life? How do we endure some of the most excruciating pain and agony and worry and anxiety? We run to words like these from John. We live in words like these from John. We go to the cross and the empty tomb where Christ won that victory over sin and death. And we rest there. We sit there and we allow God's word to remind us that I know you're struggling today, but a beautiful life is coming, guaranteed through the blood of Christ. A life where there will be no speck of illness, no fighting with your fellow brother or sister. You won't wake up hurting like you do each day. Nothing will torment you mentally or emotionally. And bike rides are cool and all, right? I love bike rides. But they're just bike rides. Or any other coping mechanism we have in this life, they're good. But that's not where we find our real, lasting, true hope. It's in Christ Jesus alone. It's in his blood, in his resurrection, as the first fruit of our promised resurrection to come. And our psalm today is Psalm 23. Ooh, the mighty Psalm 23. Couldn't get through this service without talking about Psalm 23. And it fits so well with this Revelation text, because the Revelation text says this glory is coming, but we have to wait. Yes, we are saved by God's grace through faith right now, but we're not realizing the full extent of that yet. And so while we wait, we find comfort. We find peace in the words of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. Because we are not walking alone. We know who is leading us. It is Christ Jesus who is leading us. Every miserable moment in your day, Christ Jesus is there. He's not the source of that miserable moment, but he's the one carrying you through it, keeping your eyes fixed on him, giving you hope. We also know where we're headed. We're headed home. We are headed home to be with God, to be in his presence, where he has promised to wipe away every single tear from our eyes. That is what we cling to with every single fiber of our being, the truth of God's word about the promised life to come. So here's what I want you to do when you get home today, after you have that Mother's Day lunch that you're planning. I want you to go and take out your Bible. Get one of those little sticky notes. Stick it on this part of Revelation and put it there very obtusely so we can't miss it. And then go back to it on a daily basis. Go back and read these words of what God has promised, especially in those days that are of particular suffering. Go back and read these words where God has promised you through the blood of Christ, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak this truth, this calming truth into your life every single day. Maybe the life to come will look like that, but your eyes won't itch and your nose won't run from the allergens. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this faith. We thank you that your word is authoritative truth to us. Lord, you know every bit of suffering that we deal with on a daily basis. Lord, we pray that you give the devil no victory over us, that you give darkness no reign over us, that you protect us from all the evil of despair and hopelessness. Keep our hearts, our minds fixed on you, fixed on the promises that a day is coming, a real day is coming, where we will be in your eternal presence with nothing but joy and peace and calm. Sustain us till that day, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.